The purpose of these VA disability benefits specifically is to compensate for the loss of ability to earn. The entire VA disability compensation system is built on the notion that these benefits are at least a partial replacement for loss of earning capacity caused by VA-related or service-connected disabilities. And in turn, what I point out to people is, look, you know, right now you're only able to work part-time, you're making $10,000 a year, that's not very much in the current market, you're struggling, your wife is working full-time, you can't put your kids through college the way you would like to. The purpose of these benefits is to let you perform those roles as the provider and supporter for your wife and family, and that's an important role for you to fulfill and one that the government is prepared to help you with, and so it's important to go forward with those things. You know, just for example, if you are a 100% disabled veteran, not only do you get monthly benefits, but the VA will provide dependents educational benefits to help your kids go to college because they recognize that your loss of earning capacity impairs your ability to fulfill those important roles in your family. And so they're working to compensate you.
Welcome to the Victory Over VA podcast. A podcast about empowering veterans to overcome denied disability claims. Each week, we deliver critical insights to help you understand the disability process, veterans' benefits, and how to take control of your legal rights. Now here's your host, Tony Francis Jackson.
So, welcome to Victory Over VA, your guide to unlocking your VA disability benefits. This is our podcast, so it's for veterans who are looking for the latest developments in how to deal with the VA on their disability claims. I'm Francis Jackson. This is Christian Terrison. And we're from Jackson & McNichol, a law firm that specializes in helping veterans get justice on their VA disability claims. So that's who we are. So let's talk about who is this for? Well, it's for veterans. It's for not only veterans themselves, but for those who care about veterans, those who are seeking to support veterans, whether it's spouses or other family members or friends or just concerned folks in the community who are individually or as a group working to help veterans. This podcast is for all of those folks. And today's topic is dealing with a belief that we don't seem to be able to eradicate, that certain veterans don't deserve benefits. But let's take it away.
All right. Well, as you said, it's a belief that I know I've heard from our clients, and I'm sure you hear frequently. How common is it for veterans to express that to you, that they feel they don't deserve the benefit?
I've had lots of folks say to me, oh, you know, I'm not that bad off. They should save those benefits for people who are really bad off. I actually have a neighbor who has had some fairly serious difficulties, special forces, lots of broken bones and other injuries, and just says, no, that's, you know, save those for guys that are really hurt. You know, it's a recurrent theme, and I don't know how you get behind that, really. But what I always tell people is, look, when you were in the armed forces, you were seriously underpaid. And one of the ways that the government compensates folks for having been paid at the poverty level for years in the service, often at a level where people actually qualified for food stamps on top of their service payments, is by providing other benefits, specifically both disability benefits and education benefits. And so I encourage everyone to collect that deferred payment by filing their VA claims for legitimate conditions that they're finding to be limiting or disabling.
And I guess if you're faced with a veteran who's expressing those kinds of sentiments, what do you do, I guess, to talk them around? What are some of the arguments and explanations for how their disabling condition merits benefits just as much as any other veteran's condition?
Well, that's kind of a two-part discussion usually. One part of the discussion is typically about the condition and pointing out that while the condition may not be as serious as some, you know, they may not have lost a limb or other fairly obvious injuries that they have seen in comrades, it nonetheless is affecting them. And we talk about the particular ways that it's affecting someone. Perhaps they're not able to do the kind of work they used to do because it's too heavy. Perhaps they're not able to work full time anymore. Perhaps they're not able to work at all anymore. So that's part of the discussion. But the other part of the discussion is simply helping people recognize that Congress made this determination. It's not a determination they should be making again. Congress made a determination that certain kinds of injuries or disabilities are deserving of payment. And the payment varies from a pretty modest monthly payment at 10% or a fairly significant payment at 100%. But that Congress has already spent a lot of time and expended a lot of hot air arguing back and forth internally before they came to the result. And they said, okay, we think that service members who have these disabilities are entitled to this benefit and that there's no reason for the individual veteran to be second-guessing that and say, well, you know, I have diabetes, but it isn't all that bad, and I really don't feel like I want to take that money away from somebody else. Keep in mind that the way the VA system is supposed to function, you're not taking the money away from somebody else. The VA is supposed to pay everyone who has these disabling conditions that Congress has laid out.
Do you see any patterns, particular conditions or disabilities where veterans are more inclined to feel like they don't deserve a disability benefit?
Well, I wouldn't go so far as to say it's a pattern, but there's certainly been a number of instances where folks with mental health concerns, even if they were applying for benefits for physical issues, would say that they didn't feel that they should apply for the mental health stuff, that there's kind of a, I'm not sure how best to describe this, but there seems to be a certain ethos in the military that mental health issues are some kind of weakness and not to be even talked about, never mind compensated for. And so that has come up in more than one case where people were very reluctant to pursue mental health claims, even though from an objective point of view outside, I was quite clear that they had a significant mental health issue and that it was clearly related back to their service.
What advice do you give to those veterans who maybe are struggling with that internal conflict about whether or not they deserve benefits?
Well, as I pointed out earlier, I really try to make the point that Congress has already made that determination, that Congress has decided that these folks are entitled. Kind of supplement to that, if you will, what I try to point out to people is that the purpose of these VA benefits is restorative. It's intended to help people to be a functioning member of their family, their community. So if you have a service-connected problem that keeps you from earning the income that you should have absent that problem, and thereby depriving your family of that income, that it's only fair for the government to do its best to make up that difference and help you to support your family the way you would have but for this injury or illness.
Mm. What are some of the common myths and misconceptions about deservingness when it comes to VA disability benefits?
Well, I think the biggest one, or the one that I hear very often, is, well, I wasn't in combat, so I shouldn't be entitled to benefits. And that's just a myth. There's no other way to put it. It is not true. It is just as devastating if you were injured in a Jeep accident as if you were shot by someone on the other side. It doesn't make the physical injuries any less from one and the other. So the I wasn't in combat scenario, I think, is the one that I personally find the most common.
And then have you seen any variation or pattern amongst particular groups of veterans, either, you know, we've already talked about by condition, but just about era or conflict, any attitudes that one group seems to hold versus another?
Yeah, older veterans, particularly those folks who are still with us from the World War II era and the Korean War era, I think have an attitude that is much more common among them than among even the Vietnam folks, that veterans' benefits are like welfare and that they would never be a part of asking the government for welfare. And we try to explain to them that that's just not the situation, that these benefits are a part of the compensation they earned by their military service, even though it's many years later, and it's time for them to collect that overdue compensation.
And I guess in the same vein, how is the narrative around deservingness, how has that evolved over time? Do you see that now, obviously, younger groups of veterans are maybe more willing to apply for the benefits and are given more educational resources about the benefits available to them around the time of discharge? Is any of that doing anything to help older generations of veterans be more comfortable going for the benefits they deserve?
Well, I'm not sure that any of that has made the older generations any more comfortable about it, but you put your finger on one important piece. Military now is much better about helping veterans to understand that there are potential both medical and financial compensation benefits available to them after service for various problems, depending on what they were. You know, when my dad was in service in World War II, he did a tour as an infantryman. And many years later, when he was in his 60s, he started having some significant problems, went to the VA for help. And I want to be very clear, they provided him with excellent medical care, no question. But no one told him at that point that he might also be eligible for financial assistance. And he and my mother had a tough time financially for a number of years, because he never got the veterans benefits that he would have been entitled to. And, none of us knew, none of us realized. It wasn't until I was out of law school and practicing law and started in this area that the realization came to me that, in fact, he would have been eligible for benefits and that my mother would have been eligible for benefits after his death. By then it was too late.
How about the VA itself? Is there anything that the VA is doing to get the word out and address this limiting belief, at least that you're aware of?
There is. And the VA actually is working pretty hard at outreach and helping veterans to understand that there are benefits available. Their outreach is far more focused on health care than on disability benefits. There's nothing wrong with that. What the VA is primarily focused on is making sure that people get health care and educational benefits. And they also provide for folks who are suffering from disability issues their own vocational rehabilitation program. You know, the prevailing ethos in this country is everybody should make their own way. And that's kind of the American way. But what plays into that, of course, is that for those who are struggling to make their own way, we need to find ways to help. And the VA focuses more on things like education and healthcare and vocational rehabilitation and so on to help people move forward on their own on providing disability benefits. But they do, I don't want to discount what they're doing, they do provide significant information that's readily available on their website about disability benefits. And if you go and talk to them, they will certainly tell you all about it and offer you various ways that they can assist.
As an attorney, when you're working with a veteran who maybe has some of these feelings about not wanting to claim benefits or because they don't see themselves as deserving, how do you approach a case when a veteran has those types of sentiments?
Well, obviously, it varies case by case, but In a lot of instances, what I try to point out to folks is that the purpose of these VA benefits, disability benefits specifically, is to compensate for the loss of ability to earn. The entire VA disability compensation system is built on the notion that these benefits are at least a partial replacement for loss of earning capacity caused by VA-related or service-connected disabilities. And in turn, what I point out to people is, look, you know, right now you're only able to work part-time, you're making $10,000 a year, that's not very much in the current market, you're struggling, your wife is working full-time, you can't put your kids through college the way you would like to. The purpose of these benefits is to let you perform those roles as the provider and supporter for your wife and family, and that's an important role for you to fulfill and one that the government is prepared to help you with, and so it's important to go forward with those things. You know, just for example, if you are a 100% disabled veteran, not only do you get monthly benefits, but the VA will provide dependents' educational benefits to help your kids go to college because they recognize that your loss of earning capacity impairs your ability to fulfill those important roles in your family. And so they're working to compensate you. That's what those statutes provide for. And so we try to point those things out to veterans.
Are you aware of any veterans groups or organizations that are trying to address these issues or doing any outreach on these topics?
There are several. I think it's fair to say that all of the major service organizations, whether you're talking DAV or American Legion or Paralyzed Veterans or Jewish Veterans of America or whoever, there are a bunch of organizations. I think all of them at some level are kind of putting that narrative out. But there are some other organizations. The Wounded Warrior Project, I think, is kind of focuses in that direction with the thought the services that they're going to provide to veterans are going to help them to fulfill their roles in the community. And I think that narrative is tied into what we were just talking about.
Well, that's it for today's episode of Victory Over VA. Please be sure to subscribe and tune in next week.
We hope to see you then.
Thanks for joining us this week on the Victory Over VA podcast. Make sure to visit our website, veteransbenefits.com/podcast, where you can subscribe to the show in iTunes, Spotify, or via RSS so you'll never miss a show. While you're at it, if you found value in this show, we'd appreciate a rating on iTunes, or if you'd simply tell a friend about the show, that would help us out too. If you like this show, you might want to check out our free consultation to see how we can help you with your denied claim. Simply go to veteransbenefits.com and fill out the form. You fought for us. Now let us fight for you. And be sure to tune in next week for our next episode.